This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
We are back on the show. Tom Ackerman with you, 1018. Man, this show's flying already. We're off the air at 11, Drew. We got to hustle. It's Bernie Miklas. Now we can kick back and talk some sports with Bernie. I didn't want to waste too much time, but we're already at 1018. Bernie, what's going on?
Well, I'll slow you down some more, or I'll speed up the clock some more. I'll get you closer to 11. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, man. I know you're happy, and so am I. Navy beating Army. Let me tell you just a quick story. So I grew up, my dad and I were friends with Jack Lingle, the one-time athletic director at the University of Missouri. Then he became the AD at the Naval Academy. And with through right. that friendship, I went and visited. And I actually was very serious about going into the Naval Academy. I visited. I went to Annapolis. I saw where everybody stays. I saw all the plebes, you know, and what they do. And after that time, I really enjoyed a poster of the Naval Academy up on my wall. And as it turned out, my heart was into this. I wanted to be a sportscaster. I wanted to be in this business. And I decided to go to Indiana University and become a sportscaster. But I always wondered what it would have been like to be there. So when I went to a couple of Army-Navy games and went to a game at the Naval Academy when I saw them play Yale one year, I was just blown away. And I always, always feel that way and think about those times when the Army-Navy game pops up.
Well, I appreciate that about you. You know, and I have Annapolis roots. I didn't technically grow up in Annapolis, but I grew out just outside of Annapolis. I was friends with a lot of Academy kids, you know, the children of admirals or Naval Academy, Naval Academy administration. I'm sorry. And also grew up, one of my best friends was someone who played lacrosse for Navy. He was their starting goaltender. And we went to high school. In fact, we shared the same birthday. And oddly enough, got married on the same day. And my dear friend was a tremendous fighter pilot and lost his life in the preparations for the first Gulf War. So Navy is very, very special to me because I think sometimes, Tom, people may be a little confused, like, why is he such a Navy fan? And if they haven't heard the story, also the first sporting event I ever went to, and I was very, very young, but I do remember looking at the field and being in awe. I can't lie and say I remember the game, but the first sporting event I went to was a Navy game in Annapolis, in which Roger Staubach was the quarterback for Navy. It was the year that he won the Heisman Trophy. I mean, can you imagine that? So anyway, yeah, dude, the place is very dear to me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, I was going to say there's no guessing then why you're such a football fan. It was instilled in you before you even realized what was going on. That's incredible.
And I Navy was incredible yesterday, and I don't know whether Army was kind of had a letdown after winning the American Conference Championship. They just beat up on Tulane. But I think some Army fans are saying that, but with all due respect to them, and I have immense respect for Army, I don't buy that because no matter what happens during the regular season or the bowl game coming after it, the most important game, and it's not even close on each team's schedule, is the Army-Navy game. And yesterday, 31-13, and Blake Horvath, the Navy quarterback, unbelievable. He rushed for 204 yards. He passed for two touchdowns. He ran for two touchdowns. And he totally outplayed Army's quarterback, who's very heralded, in fact, finished sixth in the Heisman voting this year.
And I have to say, it is the greatest rivalry in sports, and not only in college football, but in sports. I know that Ohio State Michigan gets the title, but I appreciate what CBS tries to do. There's nothing that can replicate being there, and having seen it, it is absolutely mind-blowing. It is amazing to feel the energy inside the stadium wherever it is played, and I've had a chance to see it in Philly and in New York. But CBS does a great job kind of putting it out how important that game is to everyone.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because I always, frankly, I'll admit it, I always get really ticked off when I see these pieces go online. Well, here are the greatest rivalries in college sports. And it's all the things that you would expect to see on there. You mentioned one of them, Ohio State, Michigan, North Carolina, Duke. We could go on and on. But so many of those pieces leave out Army, Navy. And to me, it's incomprehensible. This was the 125th game between the two teams. It started in the 1800s. And I was looking for a count, and I couldn't find a firm count. But the number of lives that have been lost defending the country coming from through all these years, decades, Army football players and Navy football players, it's enough to inspire you about the greatness of this country and what those two academies, including football players, are willing to sacrifice. And the other thing, it's also heartbreaking because, for example, one of the Navy teams after 9/11, and we went into Iraq, and then it led to Afghanistan and all that. There were three players on the game played right after 9/11, Navy game. There were later three Navy football players killed in the line of duty in the aftermath of 9/11. And so I got to read some clown. See, I'm going to get nasty here. I got to read some clown talking about what a great rivalry UCLA and USC is. And the other thing, these Army and Navy players, after they're done and after they battle their hearts out on the field, many, many, many times they become brothers in arms on the battlefield. They stand shoulder to shoulder. There's not a rivalry better than this.
No.
It's absolutely preposterous to say that there is.
There's a line in that open that they play, the intro, where it says, "Everyone playing is willing to die for everyone watching." That is a
precisely thing. That sums it up. Yep. I appreciate that you get it very much. I'm not surprised because that's the kind of man you are, but I really appreciate that you get it.
You're the man. Well, listen, it's not quite like sharing beers, with your Cards and Cubs buddies in Wrigleyville, but that is fun and that is a great rivalry. But I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see how Cardinals fans take the Cubs this year because they're going to be good. They went out and got Kyle Tucker. The Cubs made a big, big move this offseason. Your thoughts on it?
Well, Kyle Tucker, will be in right field. Suzuki will become the DH. They're ready to turn center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong. They're ready to turn center field over to the very young, very impressive prospect, Pete Crow Armstrong. And you have Ian Happ in left. It's a risky deal because Tucker can be a free agent after the 2025 season. But the thing about it is the Cubs have all the money you could want to absolutely get him to agree to a new contract. And if they're willing to pay, what it's going to cost, then he could be a fixture in right field for the Cubs for a long time. We'll just have to wait and see on that one. But the Cubs, you know, they're going to trade Cody Bellinger. And the interesting thing about that, maybe to the Yankees, is what they get in return. But the Cubs do have holes on their roster, right? You still wonder, well, who's going to close games? And wait a minute, are you kidding me? Javier Assad's going to be the fifth starter? Is the rotation that thin? That type of thing. But they still have more top 100 prospects in the organization, even after trading the kid that went to Houston in the trade, who was the – I forget his name, but was the 14th overall pick. Or maybe even less than that. He was their first round pick in the 2024 draft. So even after trading him, they still have a load of premium prospects. So what should rattle Cardinals fans isn't the fact that they just tucker because holes remain, but they have the goods, they have the prospects, they have the supply to go out and basically make any trade they want to make because they have the prospect depth to do it. So We'll see how it all ends up for them. But, you know, obviously it signals to me and everyone, I think, the Cubs aren't really in it in 2025. They're not going to fool around. No more 83-win seasons. They're going to go for it in 25.
And this is another good point that you make because it relates to the Cardinals. When the Cardinals say they are going to restore their franchise, they're going to reset, they're going to concentrate on player development. They're not just doing that to be better fundamentally, which they will be, to create pathways for young players, which they will. But, Bernie, they create currency. So they have more that they can trade, that they can move when they need it. They will have a much richer farm system as a result.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's where the Cardinals need to go, and that's where they're trying to go. And I think with Chaim Bloom and Rob Serfolio, they'll get there. And that's a build-to-wit thing anyway, very much so. And, you know, you look at the Milwaukee trade, for example, and, you know, frankly, I think some Cardinals fans are having a hard time understanding that trade as it relates to, say, Ryan Helsley. If, in fact, the Cardinals would trade Ryan Helsley, would they get? I've heard from a lot of Cardinals fans this weekend. They're saying, well, wait a minute. I know you're in favor of trading him, but if that's all Milwaukee could get for Devin Williams, their closer, and he and Helsley are equals, let's say, well, then I wouldn't trade him. Well, here's the deal. Number one, I want to clear something up. I wouldn't trade Helsley either if the offers are not good enough. But the other thing is you got to understand Milwaukee's trying to win the division in 2025, and they have a weak rotation. It's vulnerable because no one knows how Brandon Woodruff will be when he gets back. Like, is he going to be able to pitch after that shoulder surgery? They were nervous about their rotation. They had no chance to keep Devin Williams beyond the season. But if you're trying to win in 2025 and you have Trevor Megill already lined up to be your closer, and he was fantastic in that role last year when Williams was hurt, it makes perfect sense to trade Devin Williams, 1 year of him, to get Nestor Cortes, who can be a free agent after next season. But again, it's all about 25. The Cardinals situation is entirely different than the Brewers situation going into 2025. So what I'm saying is what the Brewers got for Devin Williams is completely irrelevant to what the Cardinals would want to get for Ryan Helsley. One has nothing to do with the other.
What about Nolan Arenado? As we saw the report yesterday from The Athletic, that they are in some serious discussions reportedly with the Astros for Arenado. How far do you take that?
Well, first of all, let me say this, and I think we all would agree on this. Arenado doesn't have Houston on his list of teams to he'd accept the trade to. However, I can't believe that he would stick to that. If in fact, he wants to win, Houston has won the division 8 years in a row. They still have a load of talent. I know that, you know, Bregman's going to be leaving and there's been some other things, but they still have Altuve, Yordan Alvarez. They still have Yainer Diaz, their catcher, Jeremy Pena, Chaz McCormick. They have all kinds of pitching. They still have Josh Hader. And that division stinks. That division's worse than the NL Central. So Houston is set up to still continue to win and to still own the National American League West. So why wouldn't Arenado want to go there? The other reason for that is that, Tom, we all know Arenado can still hit for average. He still plays really good defense. The only thing that's been lacking is his power has been in decline. Arenado is a pull hitter. He loves to pull fly balls. Are you kidding me? The Crawford boxes?
Oh, man.
The Crawford boxes are 315 feet from home plate. Can you imagine if he can get the ball in the air enough, how many home runs he'll hit in that place? And that would give him great peace of mind just to see that, see all those baseballs going into the Crawford boxes. So why wouldn't he want to go there? And Houston's a great sports town. You know, it's not like someone's trying to send him to, you know, some obscure place. I mean, Houston's for real when it comes to the Astros and the commitment to winning.
There's no question. He would be yanking pitches into those seats all day long. And for that matter, just go ahead and get Paul Goldschmidt, and then they can both just just break my heart and just crush following last year and the year before being down. Bernie, we appreciate this very much. It's always great to talk to you. Let me drop two things on our listeners. One, you are a must-follow on YouTube at The Bernie Show. That is a subscribe that needs to happen today. And while you're there, make sure you link up with KMOX Sports, because the Gas House Gang has been a lot of fun to do for all of us.
And we'll be back doing that tomorrow, the whole gang, at noon. And it's a live stream, and it's available on all the different media platforms or podcast platforms, which we're now on all of the podcast platforms with the Gas House Gang. So you can listen to it, the audio version, at your convenience. And we do this 5 days a week. Monday's the only day we're all four of us together. The rest of the week, it's two of the members of the KMOX sports team, which I'm, of course, proud to be a part of. So yeah, it'll be good. And by the way, since you plugged my YouTube video, let me just throw this in real quick. As soon as I hang up, I'm going to do a video about the Arenado situation as it pertains to the Houston Astros. And I'm going to answer some questions like, well, why would Houston want Arenado instead of offering more to Bregman? I'll answer that, for example, and some other things.
Perfect. Go see him as soon as he posts that video. Bernie, thanks so much.
Tom, love you, man. Thank you.
Love you, buddy. Bernie Miklas with us, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Chris May, the athletic director at SLU, is next.